So yeah. All right, there we are. There we go.
There we are. Hello, everyone. Hello, it's Molly Wood. This is Make Me Smart. We are here, as always, to attempt to make today make sense. I'm going to go ahead and call it a valiant attempt. I don't think that that is overstating the size of our task. We're going to do what we can.
Because honestly, there are just some things that don't make sense right now, and they're multiplying by the day. It is, of course, What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. Your questions, our answers. Ready, begin.
Bum, bum. We have a lot of questions. This may not be a surprise that now we have a new sting, the begin sting. A lot of questions about those unemployment benefits and the stimulus bills and the status thereof and what might happen. Let's start with one of those. Listener Ted Scheel, I believe, he asks, is the $600 per week unemployment add-on considered taxable income? What about regular unemployment income? Ted, still hopeful for the $600. That's not funny,
which
though.
Which is, of course, so, functionally already gone, right? So that's the deal.
Yeah, it expires Friday. Is that right?
Yeah, last checks go out Saturday, Friday. Except for New York, which goes out on Sunday, yeah.
Anyway, the short answer to question is yes. The extra $600 and regular unemployment are both taxable at the federal and state level. I don't believe there's been any updates there or special provisions made for that. The $1,200 stimulus check, though, just speeding on through, that you may have received in the spring from the IRS and which you might get again, that is in the GOP relief proposal, is not taxable.
Right, right. As always, consult your accountant or your tax attorney for tax advice. Not me and Molly. Disclaimer. So... here's an observation about government money, more observations about government money from Ted Mistretta, and he writes in with this. I know it's politically unpopular to distribute money directly to people, but why is it better to give money to businesses? When businesses get money, it is not always easy to manage how they use it, but people, he writes, will generally return the money to the economy supporting the businesses. So why is it easier politically to support or prop up a business than propping up people? Wow. Well, this is a 15-minute podcast, Tom, so
that is a really deep question.
Yeah. But well,
that
so
is
look,
a
so,
profoundly
so I've got some
deep
thoughts.
Question.
I've got
go
some
for
thoughts.
It.
People generally do return the money, but it depends at which income level of people you are speaking, right? Because people on the lower end of the income spectrum will in fact spend that money. People on the upper income spectrum will in fact mostly save that money. So there's that. Number two, on the businesses. Again, who are we talking about? Are we talking about small moms and pops who have made this their life's work and maybe employ like three people? We had a woman and have had her regularly on Marketplace since the pandemic. She runs a gelateria here in LA. And when things calm down, I will go. She has two stores and she got not a PPP loan, but another variety of pandemic loan, which kept her afloat. And it is her life's work and she employs a couple of people. And that is how that money gets spent. Now, United Airlines or Delta Airlines or Boeing or some of those big ones like United got its share of the airline bailout money and the restrictions on having to keep people on payroll with that money expire September the 30th. And of course, United has already sent out, I believe the number is 30,000 layoff warning notices. So that's a difficult and different case to make, but there is a case to be made, right? So it kind of depends on what companies we're talking about, is my sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably easier politically because it adheres to sort of a general, like a trickle-down idea that if you keep businesses open, they employ a lot of people. There is the halo effect that is good for them and that it's more effective than a one-to-one. I mean, I think, you know, Tom, we have to be honest. Like, your question is the actual crux of the debate that's happening in Congress right now. That's it. Like, which is better?
Well, I don't think there's actually a debate in this new bill that the Senate is proposing. There's not a whole lot of debate about money to businesses, right? They want liability protection for businesses, but I think the money that's gone to businesses has gone already. Right?
The debate
Is how much money to people or not? One last thing on this. Sorry, it's also about Molly alluded to the trickle down, which reminds me, of the Detroit bailouts in 2008 and 2009. Right, part of the rationale from the Bush administration and then later the Obama administration was, look, let's think about the supply chain for Ford Motor Company. You have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs that depend on getting like the blinker switch to a Ford Bronco made and on that car. And that's part of the rationale as well. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the cynic. A cynic would tell you,
yeah,
it is easier politically to support propping up a business because businesses are capable of making bigger donations to politicians mm-hmm. than individuals are. Something we can't ignore.
Hello, cynic. Yes.
Hello, lobbyists. Okay. A few weeks ago, it's not my job to sugarcoat it for you people. A few weeks ago, we talked on the show about the national coin shortage. Kai talked about it on Marketplace this week.
I love this story.
It's so fascinating. And Kai mentioned in the final, was that yesterday? You know, that banks are literally asking, begging you to bring your coins in, either to Coinstar machines or the bank. And Tyler Stetson had a follow-up. That is a cool cowboy name. Tyler Stetson had a follow-up to that. He said, I mean, right? You couldn't make up a better cowboy name than that.
You could not.
This guy. Anyway, I also love that he sent in a voice memo, and it goes like this.
Yes.
Hi, Kai and Molly. It's Tyler from Tacoma, Washington, and I have a question about the national coin shortage. And I thought, well, I don't have as much as Kai over there, but I've got quite a few coins taking up space around the house. So I went to two different banks in my area, a big national one that I have an account with, who told me that I'd have to roll all of the coins myself before they would accept them, and a smaller local bank that said they're sorry, but they just didn't take coins from retail customers right now. So other than paying Coinstar 13% for the privilege of having my own money, which I refuse to do, how are we supposed to turn our coins in to end the shortage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great question. Great question. And dude, so when I said this on the final on Marketplace yesterday, Molly slacked me the answer, but we were off the air by that point, and I meant to fix it today, but I didn't. So Coinstar will give you a 100% return on an Amazon card. So there's that. And since we're all using Amazon so much now, there is that. The thing that I did last time my coin jars got full, I gave my kids a cut. I said, here's the rollers. You guys do it, and you can have like 15%. And I gave them money. Fine. Whatever. Yeah.
That's nice.
All right. Okay. So hang on. Full disclosure, the way the conversation went was my daughter proposed it. I said, no, I'm not giving you money to roll my money. Get out of here. And my wife looked at me and said, Kai, come on. And then I gave them the money. So that's how that actually went.
That is hysterical.
Truth be told. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
I'm kind of a cheaper.
That is super smart. You could definitely go for the free labor version. I will say, you know, Coinstar, I think for sure Amazon cards you can get without having to give a percentage, like you said, but I think it might be some other ones too. Like, I think the Coinstar one at Safeway will also give you a Safeway card. So if you're okay with the gift card version, but honestly, I heard that story and I was like, hey, man, on the list of things that I have to worry about and attempt to accomplish, like helping you with your coin shortage is low. Mm-hmm. Low on my list.
Totally
so,
true.
Tyler, I'm going to offer this option too. Don't stress it.
Yeah, there you go. Tyler threw another thing on here on the end of his voice memo that's going to make you smart and made me smart about something I had no clue about. Here you go. Listen to this.
I do have one more trick to make you smile, however. I learned this living in Washington just recently, sorting through all those coins. We end up with quite a few Canadian ones. I learned that you can separate them easily using a magnet. Canadian nickels, dimes, and quarters are made mostly out of steel and will stick to the magnet nicely. U.S. ones, as you probably know, are made out of copper with a little bit of nickel, and they won't stick to the magnet. Hope that helps, and have a great day.
Kind of cool, right?
I had no idea. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Oh, Tyler, thanks for taking a break from breaking ponies to... to make us smarter.
Oh, man.
I might be a little obsessed. You can take the girl out of Montana, but...
A little bit. That's right.
Going to finish up now with, this is so great, a make me smile question. Here comes the sting. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And this is a surprise to Kai and I, so I'm not even going to introduce it, apparently.
Yeah, we don't even have
We're just going to... Rock it. Hold on to your hats.
Hey, Kai. Hey, Molly. It's Erica Phillips from your very own Make Me Smart.
We know her.
I wanted to know, we've been talking a lot about on Fridays about what we're drinking, Mexico or Kai's various stone IPAs. But I wanted to know, what are you guys eating? What are you snacking on during the pandemic? Me, I've been eating a lot of chocolate chips straight from the bag. That's it. That's what I want to know on this What Do You Want to Know Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness. That is so awesome. This. That is so my daughter's awesome. Go-to.
Chocolate chips straight from the bag.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of fruit. I'm eating fruit, just because I don't know. I just am. The fruit's been good this summer, so that's what I'm having. Lots of it.
Wow. Okay. All the chocolate chips straight from the bag. People are like, thanks for nothing, jerk.
I know. I'm sorry. whatever. Look.
And I'm
don't
totally,
judge.
I'm not going to help because I've been working from home for a long time now. So I've sort of gotten used to the not snacking so much. So I'm like, just having
absurdly large breakfast. In the beginning of this thing, it was really kind of amazing how easy it was 14 times a morning to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get a little nibble from the kitchen, you know? Mm-hmm. And that I think is what turned me on to the fruit, because I was like, hey, let me have a banana instead of, you know, a fried turkey sandwich or whatever I was going to have. Yeah, for
sure.
That
seems real wise. Totally. I know. I feel I am not trying to brag. I just feel really lucky that I've been at this for a long time, so the snack thing did not creep in. Now, that is not to say that I do not have a upsetting layer of coronavirus pudge, which is going to be dealt with any day now. It's just true. But yeah, if I had to say that there was any new snack that was not previously a part of my day, it's that I bought a Costco-sized bag of those little Hershey nuggets, just little pieces of chocolate, and they have toffee and almonds in them. And I'm not normally a sweets person at all, but they're delightful. And two nuggets is like 110 calories. I put it in my MyFitnessPal app.
Oh my god!
So there you go.
We're gonna turn. That's the other part of this, right?
You tell us.
Yeah, well, we totally are. We totally are. But look, here's the other part of this. Not only is there the working from home thing and it's breaking your routine, there's the stress thing too, right? And people just stress eat, for sure, for sure. So this is actually a good little call out thing. Let us know what you've been snacking on, good, bad, or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Don't judge me again.
Yeah, it is really interesting to see what people
hit us up. Yeah.
Yes, because the daily comfort, I have a friend who's like, I just need a croissant. There just has to be a croissant. I have to have somewhere to go to get a croissant and a good cup of coffee. And it was like a meltdown moment.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's got their thing. What's your thing? Mine's two cheese sticks and an apple. That's my regular afternoon snack because third grade called and it wants its lunch back.
Third grade called. All right.
If I'm being 100% honest,
we're done.
That's my daily snack. Time to go.
That is our daily show. In the meanwhile, till tomorrow, haul it out, Shell Thursday. Send us your questions and comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. And we will, of course, be back, because that's what we do. We just show up. I'm going to take the first slice this time. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Parrots is our video intern. Erica Phillips, she of the snack chocolate chips straight out of the bag, is a writer and producer of our smart speaker skills and newsletters and all kinds of good stuff.
She is. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves, who has been producing this show of late as well. And the senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark.
Did you see that listener email about this guy had noticed we've got like different lengths of this theme music? Right.
And like when we start talking in it, I do. I wait for the like the guitar to come in.
After the downbeat.
People pay attention, man.
They do.